Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Perilla. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Health. And today I'm going to be talking a little bit about our experience with H1N1 vaccine distribution in Minnesota. I'm going to start off just giving you a little bit of background about Minnesota and our vaccine allocation and distribution process. And then I'll get into three significant challenges we ran into for vaccine allocation and distribution. And then at the end, I'll try to talk a little bit about some of the lessons we learned through this process. So just a little background about Minnesota. We're the 12th largest state by area, so we have a pretty big area to cover when we're distributing vaccine. We're the 21st largest by population, and about half of our population live in the 7-county Twin Cities metro, which is where St. Paul and Minneapolis are. We have 89 local health departments, 7 state health department district offices in each of the regions of the state, and then we have our main state health department in St. Paul. The majority of medical care in Minnesota is provided through private clinics. About 90% of pediatric medical care is through private providers. And we also have several very large health systems, and about 40% of pediatric medical care is handled through a pretty good-sized health system. And what we really tried to think through in terms of distributing, allocating and distributing H1N1 vaccine were kind of a main goal, which was to target vaccination to the ACIP recommended groups and expand to the general public as soon as possible. We also used ACIP guidelines to determine how to distribute vaccine, ethical considerations, practical considerations, and which vaccine formulations were available. To give you an idea of what our timeline in Minnesota looked like, initially when we just had flu mist, we were only distributing it out to local public health and acute care hospitals. Very quickly, we did a pre-book, or we got requests from a number of providers for how much vaccine they needed for the initial ACIP priority groups, and we did a pre-book in mid-October for that information. We just distributed to those initial ACIP priority groups until about Thanksgiving, when we opened up to the full ACIP priority groups. And we did a second pre-book at that time to get an idea of how much more vaccine providers would need for the rest of their populations. And then on December 16th, we opened up to the entire population of Minnesota. So the first challenge we ran into was balancing flexibility with statewide consistency and efficiency. Like I mentioned before, we have 87 counties in Minnesota, and they differ significantly in terms of population size, diversity, socioeconomic status, the private healthcare capacity, public health's capacity, public health experience with immunization, and then their public's demand for immunization. And the counties wanted differing levels of involvement in ordering for private providers and redistributing vaccine through their local health department. And just to give you an idea of how much variation there is in terms of population in Minnesota, this area kind of down here is our metro area where St. Paul and Minneapolis are, and those are both fairly large urban areas. And then we have a few more medium-sized cities like Duluth, Rochester, and St. Cloud, and then much of greater Minnesota is very rural with pretty low populations. So the Minnesota Department of Health decided to manage ordering at the state level. This was largely because the Vaccines for Children program is managed in the state level at our immunization program, and the Vaccines for Children staff had experience working with centralized distribution, private providers, and the incredible complexity of vaccine ordering. We gave counties 3 different options on how they could manage vaccine within their county, and I'll actually talk about these options on the next slide. So the counties that are in blue were counties in which providers pre-booked directly with the Minnesota Department of Health, so they told us how much vaccine they needed for their population, and then we had vaccine sent directly to the providers. The counties in green were counties where the providers worked with their local health department to pre-book, and then the local health department gave us that information, and we had vaccine directly shipped to providers again. And then for the yellow, the providers pre-booked with their local health department, and the local health department received all the vaccine for the county and redistributed to their partners. And as you can probably see, all of the really large metropolitan areas chose to have pretty much everything go through the Minnesota Department of Health, whereas in greater Minnesota, we saw quite a bit more variety in how they chose to manage vaccine. Some of the effects of having these three local options were that it made pre-booking significantly more complex because we had to deal with a number of different situations surrounding each of those different options having different requirements. It led to some confusion when counties made last-minute changes in how they wanted to manage which option they were doing. It certainly made communication to providers more complex and time-consuming because the messages had to fit the county's vaccine option. And it took more time to manage the orders because we had to make sure we were distributing in the way that the county wanted us distributing for each of the 87 counties. And then if the county redistributed vaccine, it could take more time for orders to reach the provider, and there were some possible risks to the cold chain. There were also effects of those three local options on our large health systems. Many of our health systems have clinics in several counties, and it was very overwhelming for them to get conflicting messages from different counties on ordering and distribution. And many of those systems use a central warehouse to receive and redistribute pharmaceuticals, and they were very concerned about not being able to use their normal distribution process. Ultimately, we decided that large health systems were exempted from county ordering and distribution plans, and they did work directly with the Minnesota Department of Health on all ordering and distribution. One of the difficulties we ran into was for small health departments, especially in greater Minnesota, often there are only three or four clinics, and we didn't even necessarily know that they were a health system. And if they had clinics in different counties, they were often very confused about what was going on, and we did end up with a handful of situations where they misordered or they failed to order because they got confused about what they were supposed to be doing. The second challenge we ran into, and I'm sure most states ran into this, was distributing vaccine equitably. We tried to manage that in a few different ways. In the first pre-book we did in October, only certain types of clinics could request vaccine, and those were clinics that were considered a medical home for persons in the initial ACIP priority groups. So this really would have been pediatric offices, OBGYNs, family medicine, but it was a very limited group that had the ability to order. And then specific populations were given priority both based on the ACIP recommendations and the vaccine presentations available. So early on, most of our FluMist was going to healthcare practitioners and our injectable was going to children and pregnant women. And even with an injectable, we would have formulations that we would try to get to one population rather than another. And then we used randomization in Minnesota to try to manage the fact that we had many, many clinics that were very similar. And what we would do is we gave all of the clinics that were able to request vaccine a random number and put them in that order. And then we would actually work down that list with each formulation, so we could be at different points in the list by formulation. And we would just set up basic rules for each one, so it would go to a certain population, like children between a certain set of ages, and that we would cover a certain percentage of the clinic's population consistently across all clinics. So, for example, we might say for Sanofi 0.5s, we would cover 20% of their pediatric high-risk population with that. And some of the background we looked at in terms of determining whether or not randomization would be effective was a report that was developed by a panel which was organized by the Minnesota Department of Health, the University of Minnesota, and the Minnesota Center for Healthcare Ethics. And that was on the ethics of rationing scarce resources. And the ethics panel recommended that several clinical, population health, and fairness considerations be applied before employing random selection techniques, and we did that. We looked at ACIP recommendations. We spoke with our state health or our state epidemiologist, and we made some kind of extra rules to make sure fairness was there. So we made sure that vaccine was going at a higher proportion to places where un- and underinsured individuals might need to go to get vaccine, like FQHCs and RHCs. And then they did say at some point random selection techniques will be required to decide how to allocate resources among equally prioritized persons, and we really took that up to the clinic level where we said we have many clinics that are all really equal in our eyes and this is the most fair way for us to decide between them. Some of the lessons we learned about randomization were that initially our partners accepted the concept of randomization for distribution of scarce resources. However, those who received lower random numbers became very frustrated. And the longer providers had to wait for vaccine, the more they expressed concerns about the process being unfair. And certainly this was very hard for us because we did have that 8-week period where there was very limited vaccine, and often the Minnesota Department of Health didn't know how long that was going to continue, so it was hard to have good messages going out to providers about how long they would have to wait. And to get into some other issues we ran into with equitable distribution, in Minnesota it's a little hard to do distribution pro rata out to the counties because we have some counties that really act as medical hubs for the surrounding counties. So the city of Rochester has the Mayo Clinics in it, so people come from a number of counties surrounding it to get medical care in that area. There was a lack of accurate information about clinic type and patient population size, and I think many, many states ran into that issue. Also, the need for vaccine was often overestimated because patients were double counted. Local health departments, clinics, and specialty sites might all request vaccine for the same group of people. Another thing that made it complex were that county-level distribution and vaccination plans differed, and that some counties wanted to do more through public health and some wanted to do more through private providers. The presentations of vaccine available made everything very tricky because you would have different presentations at different periods of time, which made distribution complex. And there were very different levels of demand from the public in these different counties, and I'll be showing some maps later on showing how demand really differed throughout our state. And some of the processes we used to support equitable distribution were creating maps of statewide distribution. We did several surveys of our local health departments, as well as a few surveys of clinics to find out how they felt they were doing in terms of the amount of vaccine they were receiving. We held conference calls with the local health departments weekly, and we met with a vaccine allocation work group that included people from many different areas of the Minnesota Department of Health on a regular basis. An example of how we were doing some of this data collection was we would look at the amount of vaccine that had gone out to counties in terms of what their county population was. So the different colors here are based on kind of the pro rata amount of vaccine they had received. Red is the least, up to purple, which is the most. And then we also would put surveys out with questions like, does your county have enough vaccine for the ACIP priority group? And what was always kind of amazing to us is that what you would expect to see wasn't necessarily always what you did see. As you can see, all three of the counties that are in red here said yes, they have enough for their entire ACIP priority groups, whereas the county that's in blue, which had received quite a bit of vaccine at that point in time in comparison to their population, said that they were not at that point. So it was very hard to predict how different counties were doing. And then the third challenge we ran into was ensuring the process was viewed as fair. The distribution of scarce resources can very easily be perceived as inequitable by medical providers, local health departments, and the public. If one person or clinic receives vaccine and another has to wait, it can make people feel that they have been treated unfairly. And it became more challenging when the resource was scarce for a long period of time because it did extend the period where one clinic might have received it and another one hadn't received it yet, even just giving that small percentage out to all of them. And then we ran into issues where rumors were really increasing feelings of inequity, where there would be rumors about one clinic receiving a lot and another clinic not receiving any. And generally when we would look back and actually check the ordering data, it didn't prove to be true in the grand majority of cases. It would be situations where one clinic had used all their vaccine already and people were perceiving that as that they had never received vaccine, other issues similar to that. And just a case study of this perception of inequity, we got a reported concern saying that County X had not received as much vaccine as other counties. When we looked, County X was actually near above average in terms of number of doses sent to sites in the county by population, and this table just shows at 3 points in time where they were in comparison to the Minnesota average. And while this wasn't necessarily a county we would have considered a medical hub, they did see actually very high demand for H1N1 vaccine. So in their perception, a pro rata allocation actually wasn't feeling very fair because they were seeing so much demand in comparison to other counties surrounding them. So some of the ways we tried to manage these perceptions were by doing quite a lot of communication, and this is just a list of some of the communication methods we did. We did conference calls, newsletters, emails, webinars. We constantly updated our website, and then we did media advisories. So we did quite a bit of communication. Some of the challenges we ran into this communication was that There was tremendous frustration and anger over the changing and limited vaccine situation, and it made it a lot harder for many of our partners in local health or in private medical care to internalize complex messages. There were far too many complex messages coming from public health, and it was difficult to simplify those messages related to vaccine. Also, there were sometimes conflicting messages coming from the state or the national, state, and local level, which made it very complex for us to try to clarify what we wanted everyone to do. And then, most simply, people don't read. You can send a lot out to them, but if they're not reading their emails, they're not actually getting any of the information. And then we also really tried to be transparent as a method to try to decrease that perception of inequity. We did weekly communication out to local health departments and providers. We put a lot of vaccine information on our website for the public, and local health departments had access to pre-registration, pre-booking, and ordering data via a secure website. One of the big challenges we ran into were there were significant safety and logistic concerns about releasing clinic-specific data. This kind of was made very clear to us when one health system decided to tell the media that they had received vaccine, and their phone lines were so flooded with calls that they weren't able to do anything. They'd shut down their phone lines for several hours, which is clearly a safety concern. So we did get legal protection for our ordering data for those first 2 months, and then we released ordering data after that point in time. Some of the lessons we learned in terms of balancing local flexibility with statewide consistency and efficiency. Flexibility is very important, so local health departments can manage vaccine in the most appropriate way for their communities, but it is a good idea to allow only a limited number of ordering and distribution options for counties to choose between. All ordering and distribution options should be considered when you're developing methods for ordering and distribution, because it's very difficult to come back later and try to apply those different options. And then health systems should have the option to order and receive vaccine directly from the state. And then for distributing vaccine in an equitable manner, we think that finding or creating data sources for clinic type and patient population data as part of a pre-pandemic planning situation would be very helpful for us to do this in the future. And I don't actually have a bullet here, but in terms of randomization, I think that we thought it was appropriate in a number of situations, but certainly if we had known that we would be stretched for 8 weeks with such a limited supply of vaccine, I don't know if we would have gone in that direction. And then in terms of the perception of fairness, I think communication is very important, and we would try to simplify messages as much as possible, use personal communication like conference calls rather than as many emails as we did, offer more basic education about vaccines to new partners that may not have had experience with immunization, and try to address the emotional difficulties that arise in a pandemic. Also, we would recognize that messages may not be heard because providers are very overwhelmed. In terms of transparency, while I think we would still try to do methods to get data out there, we would also legally protect distribution data. And then just to say we had a fairly happy ending in Minnesota. We had pretty good statewide rates in comparison to the average for our region and the average for all states combined. And we had some counties in Minnesota that just did a fantastic job of vaccinating, and will certainly be evaluating what methods they use to try to be able to apply that in future pandemics. And then I'd just like to thank MDH staff, and then local public health, our medical providers, and then CDC staff. Thank you very much.